morning again. Surprise, you get me 2 weeks in a row. Yay! Right now. I was telling Brad this morning, I said, I don't know why I did that to myself, because I was the one that volunteered to go 2 weeks in a row. Because I already had an idea of a message that God had put in my heart. But I did not expect my week to be as busy as it turned out to be. I don't know about any of you, but have any of you had a hard week this week? Have you had a busier than normal week? I just feel like that just means I should be saying what I'm saying. Devil's throwing things at me to try to throw me off, but we're going to keep going anyway. We are actually kicking off a brand new series called Spring Cleaning. It's spring, I think. The weather's not quite cooperating, but it's a good time to start cleaning house a little bit, right? And so usually when you get into that spring cleaning mode, one of the first things you do is take out the trash. So that's actually the title of my message today, is Time to Take Out the Trash. I've found that there are two types of people when it comes to taking out the trash. There are the ones, as soon as it starts to get close to the rim of the can, they pull that bag out and they take it out. They don't want to see it get any higher. Then you have the type that will keep placing the trash and meticulously fitting it in there until it's so high that they just don't want to take it out. So they'll keep just putting as much as they can in it or shoving it in as much as they can. I'm the kind that I want to get it out of there. I don't like the looks of it. Let's get it out. It usually stinks. I don't want to hang on to it. But the ones that tend to keep putting it on, it's almost like they're playing this intricate mix of a Tetris Jenga kind of game, because you got to make sure it fits in this spot, and you got to make sure the whole thing doesn't topple over. So the thing is about it is, why do we do that? Why do we keep trying to avoid doing the chore of taking it out? You know, because that takes time and effort, right, to take it out. But it usually ends up being more time and work to get it out if you wait too long. Because when you start to pull that bag out, the trash will topple over, some of it's going to fall out, the bag's going to tear because there's too much in it and it's too heavy. So you end up with a bigger mess and more things that you need to clean up than if you would have just done it to begin with. But the same thing can be said about our spiritual life. The Bible does say that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so, our house needs to be cleaned every now and then, and so does that temple as well. And we really should try to do it before it gets so full that it ends up making a bigger mess than what we started with. if we neglect it, if we don't do that, it's going to get dusty, it's going to get dirty, it's going to, become neglected. So that is the first thing that we need to do. We need to start getting rid of some of that trash. How many of you have what I call a junk drawer or a closet? A thing where all the stuff that you just don't know where else to put it, you just shove it in that drawer or the closet. I have one, and I have a basement, too. We have a very old, small house, so we have, very little closets. I think we might have two, if you want to call them that. So a lot of our storage is our basement, and I'm always, if we have to have a repairman come for the furnace, I'm always like, oh, please don't look at my basement, because we look like hoarders. But we just have nowhere else to put things. But we do have that drawer, though, too, that we're, just these random little things that you don't know where else to put, you stick in that drawer, and you just hide them away. But what ends up happening is eventually that drawer gets a little too full, and when you go to open it and close it again, you can't get it closed, that kind of thing. It almost becomes like a Pandora's box. Once you get it open and you're not getting it closed again. I remember, Lily this week, she starts the PSSAs. So it's a testing thing that they do. And so the last couple weeks, they've had them doing what they call Study Island. I know Andrew knows what I'm talking about. So this is thing that just gets them prepared for their testing. And she had this one, I was looking over her shoulder when she was doing it. She had to read this paragraph, and then she had to answer questions based on what she just read. And they had this story about this father talking about his daughter's closet being like Pandora's box. She'd open it up, and it was a mess. And I said to Lily, did you see the mistake in that paragraph? And she's looking at me, and I was like, didn't you see that misspelling? And she's like, what? And I was like, his daughter's name's Sophie. I'm like, that's not how you spell it. You spell it L-I-L-Y. And she's like, Mom, that's not funny. And she's yelling. Yeah. That is the truth. That is Lily's junk drawer, is her closet. If I tell her to clean her room, cleaning her room means let's just shove everything in the closet where you can't see it, right? If you can't see it, then it looks clean and we're good. But when you open that closet, it all comes pouring out. We've had at least two incidences where, one, a shelf fell because there was too much stuff shoved on it, and so all the stuff fell in her closet. And then another time where she was trying to get something else out and a whole bunch of other things came up with it and she couldn't get them back in. And she's like, Mom, I can't get my closet closed. I'm like, well, you know, as many times as I've tried to teach her, like, if you put things back where you got them, they will fit and they will go back in. You know, if we keep it organized. But we do the exact same thing. You know, we will, spiritually, we will have this stuff and we'll just keep pushing it in and we'll just keep cramming it in. We just keep trying to close that door, close that drawer. But eventually, if we keep letting it pile up and if we keep letting that happen, it's going to come pouring out. Eventually, we're going to have this bigger mess than what we started with. You know, and quite often we try to push it in and hide it because we want others to think, okay, everything's okay. Let's hide that mess. Let's hide that thing. So that it looks clean. But it says in Luke 6:45, the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings out the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of the heart, his mouth speaks. Now, the King James Version says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so that's the truth. If we keep letting all this stuff, you know, pile up and get closed in, eventually it's going to come out. You know, if you're holding on to jealousy or grudges, you know, unforgiveness, a lot of those things, when they come out, it comes out as bitterness. If you are feeding your eyes and ears with things that aren't pleasing to God, if you're constantly feeding yourself with that, you know, it's going to come out. Usually it comes out as guilt first because you're like, I shouldn't have this. I shouldn't be doing this. So you'll feel guilty. And a lot of times when we feel guilty, then we become defensive and we become angry. So you end up getting this negative result because of this negative that you're putting in. You know, it's like the old saying, garbage in, garbage out. So, you know, what you feed yourself is eventually what's going to come out. But the great news is that we are under grace. You know, so we do have that forgiveness. We do have that love from God. And that is something that we can't earn. Nothing we can do, nothing we can say, none of that's going to make us earn grace. That is a free gift to us that he gives us. But grace is not a free pass to keep living in sin. And let me explain this, that there is a difference between sinning and living in sin. Sinning, we all do. Every single one of us sins. Only Jesus is the only one who never sinned. So we all sin. And what that is when your intentions are to do well and to do what God would have you do, but you mess up and you make a mistake and, you know, maybe you make a wrong decision. That's sinning. Living in sin is when God has already convicted you of something and you know that you shouldn't be doing it and you choose to do it anyway. When you are choosing and knowingly doing that sin, that's when you're living in sin. And so that's when you need to take some stock and really think about, is this the best decision? Am I making the best choices here? You know, that's some of that garbage that we're going to want to try to get rid of, that we need to clean up. You know, the Bible talks about a lot, you know, you can find a lot of the things of, you know, right and wrong. You can look at the Ten Commandments, you can look in the New Testament, and we can see these different things that the Bible says that aren't pleasing to God. But when you're seeing these things, the Holy Spirit's going to work from the inside out. It's not going to be the other way around. You're not going to clean up the outside and then clean up the inside. We're going to clean up the inside first, and then it'll reflect on the outside. And, you know, we all have room to grow. We all have room to change. None of us have arrived. You know, we need to remember that we are clay in the potter's hands, and so he's constantly molding and shaping us. And it's a never-ending process. It's going to be something that he's constantly working. You know, and eventually we will see that result of that work that's happening on the inside. Being that we're talking about spring cleaning and we're in the season of the spring, the best example I can give to you about that working from the inside out is in the spring. I love the spring. I used to be a big fall girl. Autumn used to always be my favorite season growing up. And Sean and I got married in the fall, like, because I loved that season so much. But over the last couple years, I've actually started to sway. And my favorite season now has become spring. And the reason for that is because there's all this new life. There's all this new growth. And so, like, where we live, there's a field and there's all these sheep. And I love spring because then you see the little baby sheep. They're all running around and they're so cute. And there's a pond down at the other farm and they have geese. And so you always see the little, you know, whatever the baby geese are called. Thank you. You'll see them like running around too. And I just love that. And the colors are so much more vibrant. Like the grass is really bright green and you have all the flowers that are blooming. And so I've become to find that to be my favorite season. But the great thing about spring, when you think about it, is that new growth, all this new life that you're seeing, it's because of what is happening below the surface. So, you know, what is happening underneath what we see the result of is above. So when you see that flower, it's because of what happened underneath that ground to make that flower come up and bloom and open and be so vibrant and beautiful. And so that's how it works with the Holy Spirit with us. He's going to work on the inside, and all that work is then going to reflect on the outside. There's going to be new life that comes from you, and it's going to be vibrant, and it's going to be a testimony to others when they see that. Now, there are times, though, that we tend to sit our garbage on the grass, like out for it to go. But let's say that we did it too soon, or we missed it when the trash can guy came, so it's sitting there for about a week. And then when that bag does eventually get taken away, you get up with a patch of dead grass. Do you know what I'm talking about? So sometimes we do that, too. Sometimes we have the garbage, and maybe we just move it to a different spot, and it ends up kind of killing that new life and that new growth. But the thing is once you take it away and you treat that soil and you treat those roots, new life will then grow again. So that's why it's important. If we get this trash out, it gives that chance for the Holy Spirit to work and be able to bring forth that new life. You know, the New Testament church, when a lot of people were getting saved, when the apostles were talking the word to God to people, and this large mass of numbers were getting saved, they all gathered together, and they had a scroll burning. not a book burning, because they didn't have it was scrolls then. But anyway, so they did this burning. They all brought this stuff out to get rid of it, things that weren't pleasing to God. They decided they were going to take out the trash, that they were going to clean house. And we can see this in Acts 19. Verses 18 through 20, it says, many of those who believed now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas, which is supposed to be like a day's worth of wages, which like the equivalent today from what I was trying to look up is like 4 million. So it was a whole lot. It was a lot that they brought. It says, in this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. So, you know, once they got saved, they realized, hey, this is stuff that's not pleasing to God. Let's get rid of it. So they came out and they got rid of the stuff. But the bigger thing that I want you to see here is that last sentence. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. You know, because of them doing that deed and taking out that trash, like, it became a testimony. And so, like, all these other people then began to hear about what God was doing. And so God got the glory for that. And it should be the same way in our lives. As God begins to make those changes, you know, people are going to see that the result on the outside, and it's going to be a testimony to them. And that sometimes speaks louder than words. You know, anything you could say sometimes, you know, will fall on deaf ears. But when they see that change, when they see that thing happen in you, that's going to be the thing that's going to catch their attention. Like, whoa, okay, hey, something's going on here. You know, if you're someone that's always been an optimist, you know, you're on the negative side, so you always see that side of things, and they're so used to you always responding that way. All of a sudden, if God starts to work inside you and you start speaking in the positive sense, they're going to be like, hey, wait a minute. Something's changing. Something is happening. And then they're going to maybe start to question. They're going to want to know, hey, what's going on? What do you know that I don't? You know, that why are we seeing this change? Even Jesus cleaned house. He took out the trash when he turned over the tables at the temple. In John 2, 13 through 16, it says, when it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market? Matthew and Mark go on to say that Jesus says, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. The reason I chose John's version, though, is because of this very next verse. In verse 17, you got to remember the disciples are seeing this. They're watching what's happening. They're seeing Jesus' response to this. And this is what it says. His disciples remembered that it is written, zeal for your house will consume me. You know, zeal means enthusiasm, eagerness. Consume means to, like, eat or drink up or to devour in a sense. You know, that was the response to that. And I thought that's just it. That's how we should be. We should be eager to seek God and to clean house, you know, our spiritual house, that we should be able wanting to get in there and eat of the bread of life and drink that living water so that we can have that cleaned and see the result that God will do for us through the Holy Spirit. You know, remember, none of us have arrived. There's always room for change. Until we get to heaven, there is always a work that God can be doing inside of us. you know, there's things that can change. I think I was trying to think of a good example of this that we see in the Bible of where, you know, God can still change and mold us. And I remembered King Josiah, and I thought that this would be a good example of what I'm talking about today. In 2 Kings 22, 1 through 2, it says, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in all the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. So he came king at a very early age, which is a huge responsibility. But it says he was a good king, that he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. To me, this is the key that I want to point out is that from the beginning, it's saying that he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He didn't turn from the right or from the left. So, you know, so you're thinking, okay, good. He's following the right path. He's going the right step. He's doing good. But we find as we keep reading on that there still was room for even for him to change. Even with that being said, there were still ways for God to mold him and change him. In his 18th year of his reign, he was repairing the temple. He was having the temple of the Lord repaired. And they found the book of law. And so he had it read to him. And when he heard what it said and he realized that there was things happening that were not of God or didn't please God, he got very upset. And so he tore his robes, which in, just so you know, in the Old Testament, whenever you read about someone tearing their garments or their robes, that was an expression of great emotion. So whenever they had an extreme emotion, that was what they would do. And so that's what he did. He tore his robe. He cried out to God, and he was very upset when he read that there was these things happening. So he sent his priest and his attendants, and he said, go find out what the Lord says about this. What does he say? So they go to a prophetess, and she tells him, and she gives him a word. She tells him what the Lord says, and he says that he's going to bring disaster to them because they've forsaken him. They are worshiping other gods, and they have idols. And so, you know, as a result, that there's going to be destruction because of this. But she goes on to say that because Josiah humbled his heart, or because his heart was responsive and he humbled himself, the Lord said that he would not see this disaster. So he wasn't going to see what was going to happen to Jerusalem because that he had that instant response of, you know, God, forgive me. This is, you know, what we're doing here is wrong. And so then he gathers everybody together and he reads the book of the covenant to them, and he renews that covenant in the presence of the Lord. And everybody else, all the people, he gathers them all together. They all pledge themselves as well to this covenant. And then he cleans house. He takes out the trash. He goes through and he tears down all the altars and the poles and the idols, and he grounds them into powder, it says. And it goes on to say some even more stuff that they did too. But you can read about that. But he goes in and he pretty much cleans up Jerusalem. And it says in 2 Kings 23:24. Furthermore, Josiah got rid of the mediums and spiritists, the household gods, the idols, and all other detestable things seen in Judah and Jerusalem. And if we skip to verse 25, it says, neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his strength in accordance with all the law of Moses. So you got to remember, like for however many years, they were not following God. They were not following the law, and they weren't doing this stuff. And so he, you know, was already doing good, but then he finds this book and he realizes there's still room for change. There's some trash that needs to be taken out. And he immediately jumps to action. You know, instead of being like, well, I'm good. I don't need to do it. You know, he's like, no, let's get this. I want to make it right. And so he begins to work on that. A lot of times we get comfortable in our ways. You know, we're doing the things that we know we should do. And so we get, okay, well, that's enough. I've checked off my boxes. You know, God told me to change this. I did it. I went to church. Check. I read my Bible a little. Check. You know, et cetera. You have this list of, okay, if I'm doing these things, I'm good. And that's all I need to do. But the thing is that God should still be molding us. There still should always be a work happening and a change happening. And so even with Josiah, like he could have responded, hey, you know, I'm doing good. God already said I'm not going to see this disaster. So what do I need to do? No, he was like, no, I still see that there are things wrong and I want to make them right. And so he jumped into action and he changed those things and he worked on them and he cleans up the house. He takes out the trash. So we need to, in the same sense, be willing to take action. You know, when God begins to press on our hearts about these things, and we need to seek him, say, God, what area do I need to work on today? What trash do I need to take out today? And then actually be willing to take that action when he starts to reveal those things to us. You know, when we become complacent, what ends up happening is that, you know, a lot of the stuff we do ends up becoming ritual instead of meaningful. Like, for instance, the best example that I can give you is I remember growing up when we would have to say grace. Like, me and my brothers and sisters, we always had to, like, take turns saying grace. And it was always the same thing. Thank you, Jesus, for this food and the person who prepared it. In Jesus' name, amen. Like, so it gets to a point that you're just saying it because you just know it. So you're saying it from here instead of saying it from here. And so I know at one point in time, God finally started to deal with me on that. He was like, did you even know what you just said? Do you mean what you just said? Like, you need to be praying intentionally, like, with your heart. Like, mean what you're praying. And so I know that he really dealt with me that, and I start to begin to really work on that. You know, same thing, like, when you talk to someone and, you know, they're going through something hard, and you're like, oh, I'll pray for you. Do you? Do you actually stop and pray for them? Or do you just think, okay, God bless them or heal them or help them? And it's not that that's bad. I'm not saying that that's bad. What I'm saying is, are you taking the time to really, like, from your heart, pray for that person? Or are you really praying your prayers from your heart, or just out of, I did that duty, check? Are you just checking off a box? Or are you taking the time to actually really think about what you're praying? And it's the same thing, like, you know, here we need to take that time. Don't become complacent where it's just something you do because you know you're supposed to do it. Be something that you're doing because you feel that and you have it and it's coming from your heart and your intentions is to be pleasing unto God. You know, it's the same thing even with our song service. When, you know, a lot of times with the songs, we know them so well that we just sing them because we know the words. But do you think about the words sometimes? Sometimes I get emotional back there. Like, when I am actually paying attention, when I stop and I look and I hear those words and I see them on the screen, I'm like, man, like, that is the truth. When, you know, you're talking about God's love for us and the things that he does for us and how wonderful he is, it's like when you really begin to, like, think of it and sing those songs from the heart, like, it gets me choked up. And it's amazing, but that's what it should be. And so a lot of times when we have all this trash and this garbage, sometimes we lose sight of that and we lose sight of really the meaning. Just because we know it doesn't mean we're always doing it from the heart. And so as we begin to peel away those layers, you know, that new life, that new growth will start to come forward again. And that's the thing too, when it comes to taking out the trash, it's not something that you're going to take the whole bag out at once. Because remember I said, when it gets too high, stuff's going to fall out or the bag's going to tear. And so you're going to end up with a big mess. But if you allow God to work with you one piece at a time, removing those layers, then first off, it's going to be easier on us. Because you can imagine, it'd be a quite shock to our system if God said, okay, everything's coming out at once. Like, that would be hard. But if he takes that time and peels those layers away, then first off, it's easier for us to handle. And then we learn something in the process as we're doing each of those layers, and we begin to grow, and our faith begins to grow, and then people begin to see that change, and they see that new life, and then it becomes a testimony to God. Now, like I said, you know, the Holy Spirit needs to be one to reveal this to you. You know, if God's dealing with something with you, it doesn't mean that he's dealing with that same thing with someone else. So don't immediately be like, well, they're not doing it, or they don't, you know, or they do this, isn't it okay for me to do this? No, like, each of us, it could be something that's not even a sin. It could just be something like, you know, God tells you he doesn't want you to drink coffee anymore. There's no sin in drinking coffee, but maybe God has a reason why it's not good for you. And so he tells you not to do it. So it doesn't make it wrong for anybody else not to do it. It's between you and God. And so you have to seek God and see what area, what thing that he is talking to you about and revealing to you to do. But the Bible does give us some guidance. Like I said, you can look and find these guidance on things that aren't pleasing to God. And we're going to look at Galatians as some examples here. In chapter 5, verse 16 through 18, it says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And again, so again, if your intentions are to follow the Spirit and to do what God is leading you to do, but sometimes you'll mess up, you'll make that mistake because the sinful nature's trying to take over. And so, you know, sometimes we make bad decisions, but that's okay. We're under grace. God forgives us, and he will give us another chance. He will keep working with us. He has unlimited patience, and so he will continue to work with you as long as you're willing. And then we go on to verse 19 through 21. It says, the acts of a sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And then verse 24 through 26, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. You know, so when we're gratifying that sinful nature, the result's going to be death. But when we are being led by the Spirit and we are trying to walk that path, the result's going to be life. You know, remember, it comes down to your heart. What matters is your intentions. It's okay if you mess up. It's okay if you make a mistake. Give yourself that grace. God's giving you the grace, you know, when you make the mistakes. It's whether or not your heart is, that's what I'm trying to do, is the right decision, as opposed to, I know I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. You know, you need to be trying to side with the being led by the Spirit as opposed to that sinful nature that we all have. You know, the Bible also says, like I said before, like garbage in, garbage out. The same thing goes with you reap what you sow. And so when we see there in Galatians, when it's talking, you know, about like, here's the things that are, you know, aren't pleasing to God, but when you're following the Spirit, here is what you'll reap, and it shows the fruit of the Spirit. Now, there's one fruit, but there's those nine manifestations, and so when you begin to let that Spirit work in you, you'll see those things on the outside. Like I said, what's happening underneath, the result you see above. So that flower that comes out in the spring is a result of what's happening underneath. Well, when you begin to let the Holy Spirit work within you, you're going to see on the outside love, patience, kindness, gentleness, you know, self-control. You're going to see that fruit come forward. Galatians 6, 7 through 9, it says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And I thought the best way to just kind of show you what I've been saying is by like this example of the picture here. So if you're following that sinful nature, you can see that that's going to lead to death. And then if you're following the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, then it brings that new life, and then that growth and life is going to come from that. So I want to encourage everybody this week, and I myself included, I'm giving myself the same challenge, is to seek the Holy Spirit, to seek God and ask him, what piece of trash can I get rid of this week? Now, remember, it's not going to be on your own strength, though. You cannot rely on yourself to do it. You know, that's the great thing, is that when you're actually taking your physical trash out at home, you're doing it yourself, and you have to do that work. But when it comes to spiritually, you have some help. You got someone that's going to help you with the heavy lifting, and they're also going to help you kind of clean up the mess that it might leave behind. So when you seek God, just know that Jesus is going to be the one that's going to help you take out that trash, and the Holy Spirit's going to be there to help kind of clean it up afterwards. But that's what you need to do. You need to allow Jesus to do it. Don't try to do it on your own, because then it's not going to work. You're just going to end up being frustrated or maybe with a bigger mess. But when you seek God, then and allow him to do that work in you, then you can start to remove that trash. But my challenge to you is to ask, what can I do this week? What piece of trash can I throw out? Remember, we're not trying to get rid of the whole bag. We're just trying to do it layer by layer, piece by piece. And you know the thing, and this is what I want to encourage you when to do this challenge, is because when you begin to remove that trash, do you know what will be underneath it? Hidden treasures. There's going to be things, gifts that you have that you've forgotten about, that are hidden under that trash. You know, it's the same thing at home. Like if you get out that junk drawer and you begin to look for something, you start to clean it out, and all of a sudden, hey, I forgot all about this. Like, oh, that's so awesome. I thought I lost it or something. You find that thing that you really like, or something that's a, you know, a great little treasure gift. Happens with Lily with her closet all the time. She'll find a toy that she didn't even open yet. Like, oh, it's a brand new toy. Like, awesome. So, you know, it might be like a little puzzle or something, nothing big, but it's still, it's exciting. It's exciting when you find that thing. But the same thing is spiritually, if we're got all this garbage, you know, there's treasures that God's giving us, blessings that he's given us, that they're buried. We don't even know they're there. But as we begin to move that trash, those will come forth, and it's going to be exciting. And then there's those gifts, like I said, that maybe, you know that you have, like deep down, you know you have this gift, but you just haven't seen it in a while, or you've forgotten that you have it. And as you remove that trash, then that gift's going to come forward. And I'm going to tell you, when you start walking in that gift that you're supposed to be walking in, you're going to feel better. You're going to feel excited because you're going to be like, oh yeah, I'm doing what God wants me to do. And you know, and he's given you that strength to do it. So I highly encourage you to try to get rid of some of that trash this week. You know, even if it's just a piece. And it might take more than a week, and that's okay, because it's in God's timing. It's not in our timing. Sometimes it's a longer process. Sometimes, you know, it's little pieces that he's able to remove more quickly. But we just have to be willing. You know, like King Josiah, we need to jump to action and be like, all right, God, let's clean house. What are we going to do today? So I'm going to encourage you to do that. We're going to pray, and then Mark will come up and do his announcements. But I will stay up here. So if anybody wants prayer, if you need prayer for anything, I'll be up here for a little bit to do that. But I hope that you take my challenge this week. I know I'm doing it. I'm right there with you. So I'll pray for you guys. You pray for me. We're going to work together on this. And so I love you guys, and I hope you all have a great week, and I will be praying for you, but let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We just thank you for your grace that, we do make mistakes, Father, but you're so patient with us, and you continue to work with us, and we just pray that, Father, that you reveal to us anything that we need, any trash that we need to take out, Father. You know, begin to guide us and help us with that, Father. Don't let us do it on our own accord, but let us use your help and your guiding hand when it comes to that, Father. And we just thank you, and we praise you, and we just pray for strength and blessings on everyone in this place, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.